Mailbag.
Mailbag.
So, listeners, I ask you all the time to, as always, correct me if I'm wrong, convergencepod@icloud.com. And we got a mail.
So good, it almost rhymes. So
I thought I would. I didn't cut the. I didn't grab the subject line. So it's just right into the email. The truth is, YouTube isn't broken. Visibility is. Great videos that never get found are like concerts with no audience. All the talent, none of the applause. That's exactly why we built Redacted. Picture this. Every morning you wake up and see your channel raking for high intent keywords, pulling in the viewers already searching for what you do, while your subscriber count steadily grows in the background. On average, our users see 30 to 50% bump in clicks in just the first 60 days. All you do is upload a video, pick a couple keywords, and let Redacted do the heavy lifting faster than you can say, skip ad. If you're curious, I'd be happy to hop on a quick call and show you how this could work for convergence. Best, Redacted. It's just constant.
Yeah.
It's mail.
Everybody's
broken.
Got their hand out. Everybody's on the grift.
Yes.
We did actually. We didn't necessarily get mail to that address. We did get correspondence. Listen, Adam.
Hmm.
Wrote in.
Okay.
On the WhatsApp.
An actual person.
An actual person.
Whoa.
And he hopes that we had a lovely summer, and he's just been catching up on the podcast, and he said in truth he would have had to have asked AI the rules too regarding his regarding the full body massage, but he's also sure that he would have been too much of a coward to have accepted the service and used his powers of Englishness to have anticipated awkwardness.
Amazing. So,
I'm a poor Englishman.
Well, hello, Adam.
I think you're
fantastic.
I think I'm an excellent
Englishman. And so is Adam.
Thank you,
Adam, for writing.
A fine Englishman. A fine, upstanding Englishman, yes. So
I just think massages should be nakey, you know?
It's just, yeah, massage nakey.
Yeah. It's just better. I mean, kind of everything should be nakey, right?
Like, well, let's get to that's the... where you and I, you know. I think some things shouldn't be nakey.
No. Family gatherings should not be nakey.
Yeah. Church.
Church should debatable. Be
depends on the church, I guess.
It depends on the church. God made us this way,
and
you know.
Yeah, like, and you'd be closer to him.
You'd
more
be that
you
much
are.
Closer.
Yeah, you'd be that much closer to God.
God also made all of the capabilities for us to make clothes to wear, yeah, to cover ourselves, so the logic fails.
And he was the one who told us to cover up our nakedness, for we were ashamed of it.
Is that true?
I don't know if it's, well, I don't know if God told Adam, but I believe, yeah, Adam covered up his nakedness for he was ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah, because they got all the knowledge, but it wasn't, yeah, I don't think it was God's commandment.
No.
He said be fruitful and multiply, so
yeah,
he knew what was going on.
But only when you're married.
That's not one of the rules.
Sex before marriage is very much not allowed.
It's not allowed by, like, the church, but not by God. Yeah. I don't think God said anything about it. Did he? I don't know.
Now,
I don't know these things.
Now,
you call me a Christian, but I don't fucking know these things.
Well, this is the... Okay, so...
This is definitely what we should be...
you've uncovered a plot hole. Because... if God exists...
If.
Then who's to say... The only sense we have of what God said or didn't say is what some cardinals decided...
Oh, like, I don't know if
God didn't say anything.
Correct.
Yes. All we have is what some cardinals decided to put in the big book. So sure. That's what yeah. we have to go on. So
yeah.
the idea that like God didn't say you shouldn't have said like no, God didn't say, it whether or not God exists is a separate issue from the fact that a bunch of cardinals made up what God said.
Right. Correct.
That's yeah. indisputable. God existing is more debatable than the fact that a bunch of priests went, well, this is what I reckon he reckoned.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know about the cardinal ranking and stuff. Like I know them as like either as like prophets or the prophets didn't write anything down. It was the people around the prophets that would write stuff down. And the disciples.
Well, there aren't you're not allowed to have any prophets apart from God in the or are you thinking of the disciples?
Yeah. I don't.
Cuz the disciples done wrote stuff.
Right.
In the Christian
like years canon. Later after the yeah. fact too, not like in the moment.
Oh yeah,
contemporaneous. Well, I guess maybe Matthew wrote stuff down contemporaneously. He seems like he was a little neurodivergent and record keeping and kind of like type one or something. I don't know. It's all pretty silly. During Adam and Eve's time, nobody was writing stuff down then.
Nope.
There wasn't even written language, nope. So it was oral. If let's say there was a chain of custody of this knowledge,
sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, that, and why shouldn't we?
And there is a list of names. Like it tells you.
Yeah,
the
I mean, there was a lot of begetting.
It tells you the chain of custody.
It's a hell of a lot of begetting at the beginning.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm. So we also do know. Well, we have been told that like oral traditions were more reliable back, like people had better memories before cell phones and even writing, because they could like people could memorize
to.
And recite Beowulf and yeah. The Odyssey and all that kind of stuff.
Well, listen, I can recite the opening verse of My Shot by Lin-Manuel Miranda in Hamilton, you know.
And now you need to do that.
I'm a get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dagger, amazing, astonish. The problem is I got a lot of brains, but no polish. I got to holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge, I'm a diamond in the rough. A shiny piece of gold, trying to reach my goal. My power of speech, unimpeachable. Only 18, but my mind is older. These New York City streets get colder. I shoulder every burden, every disadvantage. I've learned to manage, I don't have a gun to brandish. I walk the streets famished. The plan is to fan this spark into a flame. But damn, it's getting dark, so let me spell out my name. I am the Alexander. We are meant to be a colony that runs independently. Meanwhile, Britain keeps shitting on us endlessly. Essentially, they tax us relentlessly. Then King George turns around, runs a spending spree. He ain't never gonna set our descendants free, so there will be a revolution in this century. Enter me, he says in parentheses. Don't be shocked if your history book mentions me. I will lay down my life if it sets us free. Essentially, you will see my ascendancy, and I am not throwing away my shot, etc.
Amazing.
So, you know, that is in my brain.
And now our podcast has been demonetized. That was amazing.
Oh, no. We're not going to have any more spam.
Oh, no.
That was amazing. Great job. So, yeah.
So, how many times, do you listen to that a lot? Or is that just something like,
I deliberately done, you know, learned it. For a party piece. So yeah, I'd like to learn the rest of it, but I haven't the impetus went. I was like, that's the bit I wanted to learn.
Yep. So, yeah. Nice. No, that's all you need.
That's all you
impressive.
Need.
Yeah.
I've just done,
what have you done?
A huge amount of, batch cooking, and I'm not even like halfway through yet. Because I'm doing a bunch of stuff, I've the amount. Oh my god! I vastly overestimated the amount of rice I needed.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
I mean, my god. So that
does,
is.
Does rice save well? Does rice, like, does it freeze? Or
you can freeze it. Yeah, it's not as, it's apparently not as good, but you can, and I will, because I'm going to need to. Otherwise, it's a crime.
Maybe you can make some mochi.
Oh, I don't think I know what that is.
I don't know. It's like a texture that it's kind of gelatiny, but maybe thicker. And it's like kind of chewy and solid, but yeah, it's a
okay.
I think it's made from rice, but I could be way off.
Yeah. Well, there's so many options. That's going to go in a big bag, as well as there's also going to be a big bag of quinoa. I cooked too much quinoa. But, because I was following ChatGPT.
Oh no!
And it went insane.
It's gonna destroy us all, one rice grain at a time.
Yes, absolutely.
What else? What's the good part? Because this is just.
I've assembled some chicken burrito bowls.
Ooh, I like this.
So yeah, those are ready. So that's
what goes with the chicken.
So we've got some nice, very very. So there is There is a blend, like a seasoning blend, that I pick up from my local supermarket, and it's a guilty purchase because on the label in big block capitals is air fryer.
On the seasoning?
Yeah.
Air fryer seasoning.
Yeah. Yes. Because someone very clever went... Air fryers are suddenly big. Let's make some seasoning that we can say is specifically for your air fryer, for putting stuff in the air fryer, right?
Great.
The annoying thing is, it's really good.
Okay.
It's really, really, it's a really good blend. I haven't actually looked at the label to the back to find out what it is a blend of, but it's real good. So, like, amazing. I buy it. Like, I know I could use it in the oven or I could fry things in it. That's not that's fine, but it's just a really good seasoning blend with a bit of spice and a bit of I don't know, man. It's sort of umami, and it's real good. So I've tossed my chicken in that, and then we've got some courgette, or as you might say, zucchini.
You call it what?
Courgette, because that's what it's called.
Probably,
or in French.
Didn't
anyway.
Hear, of course. Yeah, that sounds French.
I guess that's what the French called it, and so that's what we'd called it. I guess you went with what I would imagine to be
zucchini.
Italian?
It sounds zucchini. Oh,
but yeah, but that would have to be in Italian. One zucchini would be a zucchino, so I don't know if that is but, yeah,
zucchino.
Yeah, because you know spaghetti, like all those things. All of those are plural. It would be technically one spaghetto, but like no one has one spaghetto
except for Chef Boyardee.
yes, I reference
that's
knowledge.
Yeah,
So yes, we got the chicken, we got the courgette, we got bell peppers, the rice, and black beans, which I sort of tossed in some garlic powder, paprika, hot sauce and a bit of salt, and they were just like I could just eat them.
This
like they were
awesome.
They were real nice.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of things I can't eat right now. Well, I'm not allowing myself to eat right now.
Oh no.
Yeah, I'm taking
but the beans, Brendan. The beans
are great. I'll eat the beans. I'll eat the chicken. I would eat the rice, although I tend to skip rice. But all of the nightshades I'm taking a break from.
Ooh.
So the bell peppers, the paprikas, you know, tomato, and other things you didn't list, like eggplant and a few
or,
other things.
Aubergine, yes.
Cayenne French. Pepper, chipotle pepper, jalapenos,
no.
All these things.
All the tasty things.
I had a crazy reaction to a pepper I got from my grocery box that comes to me. They had a special on these peppers. I'm like, I love peppers. I love spicy peppers. I love all the spicy things, all the peppers, all of that stuff. Paprikas. I famously have a 5 paprika chili, and I ate this pepper. I was like, I think it's supposed to be kind of medium spicy. So that's great. So I took a bite of it. I'm like, oh, this is very high spicy. And I enjoyed it. It was good. It was a good flavor. The spice is like top of what I would like to tolerate. And then I made a dish with it. And I probably used more than I should have, but that's fine. And ate a bunch of it. And then it got really hot, as you would expect. And it's one of those hots that it doesn't like flare up really high and then kind of fade. It lingers a long time. It gets to its high point and then just stays at the high point. What was funny is that when it did finally taper off, it was almost instant. It wasn't because I was drinking anything or anything like that. It just all of a sudden just went away. I was like, whoa, timer went out. But while it was still there, I could see on my, like through my nose and then down to my cheek, like to my sinuses area right here, it was bright red. And I could feel it kind of swelling up. And I'm like,
oh, okay.
This doesn't seem like a good thing. And then also I remembered at that same time, maybe 10 years ago, I took like an allergy or sensitivity test and cayenne pepper came up on it. And I remember I had put aside cayenne for a while and I didn't really notice a difference, but I wasn't really doing much of, I didn't know a lot about food yet and what was connected and what, and my body and all these things. And so I was like, two and two, maybe I should try not having this group of foods for a while. And so I'm doing the whole group of foods and then I'm going to incorporate like one thing at a time coming back in after a few weeks or a month or whatever. And it's so hard to do. Like my default is just to go to these food. Like yesterday I went shopping and I picked up, my favorite kombucha, which I shared with you, which was probably too strong of a kombucha to start with. And I realize my mistake now. I should have warmed you up for that. But
when did we have that? Because I've had kombucha before.
I gave you the Cayenne Cleanse kombucha. It was a spicy kombucha.
Yeah.
And it was like really spicy pickle juice. Yeah. And it wasn't your favorite, which I completely understand. And I was like, oh, I love this. And, you know, I'm just drinking it all the time, guzzling it. I'm like, oh, this stuff's great. Not thinking about the road to get there. And so I picked one up and I opened it. And as soon as it hit my tongue, I like spit it back out. Cause I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to have this right now. God damn it. Cayenne. So I'll give it to Carl. And that's my story. That's what I came to share. And thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you. I have two things to show you.
Show me.
All right, let's see how much of this is
circular. Oh, it's a Coke. It's a Coke Zero. I see sugar. I see zero caffeine, zero sugar. Look at this. Yes, you found some.
I did. My local supermarket has the zero caffeine, and I now have the zero caffeine coffee pods. Yes, otherwise known as decaf.
Ooh.
So I have the decaf coffee pods.
So that decaf is not zero caffeine, but no, that's amazing. I have something the opposite to show you.
Ooh.
I am drinking nitro cold brew.
Little cold brew.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I have gone in the opposite direction for the time being to get this project completed.
That's fair enough. Get the energy. I am making a choice to forswear booze and caffeine. We'll just see how
for the moment.
For the moment. To look after my voice. To take better care of the voice. And obviously with the caffeine they'll have all sorts of other benefits as well. That will all begin because it only arrived earlier today because of a big snafu yesterday. They came in and were ready to deliver, but I was in bed and I didn't hear the doorbell call.
Oh no.
Yeah. So that will all begin in earnest tomorrow back with the 16-hour fasting.
Well, you did. So is that for are you doing it calf decaf depending on the time of day, or are you just going all decaf?
All decaf.
All decaf. Hell yeah, bro.
And yeah, so and I'm just gonna go like straight at it and just, you know, painkiller my way through 2 days, and then after 2 days it will just be, you know, the other stuff to deal with. So hopefully it'll be all right. But yes,
the other stuff to deal with. The emotional turmoil. What's the other stuff?
Oh, just the change in energy levels for a sure.
Yes. 2 weeks.
But it's really just the headaches and the occasional nausea that I think that nausea is induced by the headaches. If I'm honest, they feel like they kind of come one and the same. So I'm hoping that if I nip the headaches early in the bud, then it'll basically be fine. We will see. But I'd rather just like go a little bit hardcore, 2 days of maybe feeling a bit rough, and then just kind of just back at it. And then a quick...
And do you have a painkiller that does not have caffeine in it?
Yes, I actually accidentally. I asked... So last week, before I went on holiday, in fact, I went to my chemist and I asked for... Anadine, the stuff that I brought with me, the stuff that's similar to the stuff that we ended up having in the big pill bottle.
Yeah, we got Excedrin.
Excedrin,
remember what yours is.
Which has caffeine. The one I had is Anadine Extra. So I asked for Anadine Extra, and they gave me normal Anadine, which is the one without caffeine. So that turns out that'll be fine.
Perfect.
Because I need to not... I believe I need to not have ibuprofen while I'm on blood pressure tablets. So there we go. My God, getting old is fun.
I like it.
Yep.
I like it. There's parts. Generally, it's pretty great. There's little nitpicks that are like, I was warned about this.
Yes.
You were in the middle of thought, I think.
Yeah. What was that? Sorry,
I think you were in the middle of a thought.
Yeah, I forgot what it was.
Part two.
Yeah. I was going to have a little sort of midsection, interval observation, but that's gone. So I have no idea what that was going to be.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the 1.5 or the one period one?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it'll come back to me. The other thing, which might be harder to show, I will turn the brightness down on my phone to see if it helps. Is
A cellular phone. Okay.
Yeah, it's a cellular phone.
A calendar. I see a calendar. I see,
you see
a to-do
bear,
list. I see
the bear icon.
Oh, your brother's birthday. I see a bear. Yeah, I see the bear. And
then
Flurry.
Bear icon. It's the Flurry
icon. Oh, look at
that
little hive. Oh, yeah. That's a great icon. And it's an icon on
and
your phone.
And it's an icon. Yeah.
And what...
At the moment, it shows a sort of picture not found because it's trying to get stuff from my local network.
Weekly singing group.
It's the beginnings of an app.
Amazing, bro.
An app. A desktop, a mobile app.
A mobile app.
Yes. So that is in the works.
That's slick, bro. That looks good.
So
it's scrolled and everything.
So that was sort of decided my last day on holiday of like, I was in the airport, much in the same way that Flurry came to me while I was on the plane home. I was in the airport listening to, or reading, in fact, a book about positioning, and I was like, oh no, this needs to be an app, doesn't it? It doesn't make sense if it's not an app.
No,
I can't remember if we talked about this last week, but yeah.
I got great advice that you don't start with the app.
Yes.
Joking.
But your thing.
Joking.
Yes.
It's good. It's good. I didn't start with an app and pay all this money to try and make something that I just burned out and didn't want to do anyway.
That's very much
as is my
As is, I think, quite a lot of our things. Yeah. I was in the process of listening to an audiobook, which is the most self-help. Like, if you listened to it, you'd be like, this is the caricature of a self-help book.
Yeah. What was it?
It's called Tiny Experiments, and it's by a lady called Anne-Laure LeCompte, who I have referenced before. Because I'm a big fan of one of her things called Pacts, which is setting things that are purposeful, actionable, continuous, and trackable. So instead of setting goals, you create these pacts and that sort of thing. But she's very French, and she reads the audiobook herself, which
I like that
is not what I would have advised, but what is kind of charming is she calls it out right from the beginning. She was like, I have imposter syndrome. I mean, you know, that's unkind. I'm not going to do that. She deserves better treatment than me doing a shitty French character.
Zucchini.
Yeah, zucchini. Yes, she's an intelligent woman. She doesn't need to be demeaned by my accent. but she makes the point of like, you know, I had imposter syndrome about whether I should read this audiobook, and my publisher were like, yes, you should. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of moments where I'm like, eh. I'm having to do extra work to decode your pronunciation, but she's charming and very smart. But like, if you just listen to it, it sounds like every caricature of a self-help book because of the non-native English speaking aspect of it. I think that just absolutely does it. So you could be floating somewhere listening to that and feeling very 90s, like you're in a sitcom. Funny. And being I found out, I remember what the middle thing is because my brain just made the connection.
The middle thing
is I am probably a week away, maybe 10 days away from being 100% nicotine free for the first time since 2008.
Okay. Well, I mean, first of all, congrats and wow.
Thank you.
Second, how, why is it, what, is it like in you and wearing off, and you know the exact day it's going to wear? Are you're planning your usage, or what's?
No, I haven't. So I haven't had any nicotine since about mid September last year.
Okay.
And what I was referencing there is the other times where I've gone, like I haven't since 2008 gone more than probably 4 or 5 months without some form of nicotine.
Gotcha. Okay.
So this is
You're talking about that's the time. Okay. Yeah.
This is the longest I've gone.
Amazing.
Nicotine free since 2008.
Wow. That's really cool. That's super cool, dude.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
Oh, it feels good. I mean,
Do you need it?
No. There's been a couple of moments. So when I was in Brighton with friends, one of them is like me, that sort of has that naughty streak, and it was like, ooh, we're out. Ooh, we should get a little packet of 10 cigarettes and smoke them. mischief. That's what kind of got me on it again back in 2019. And then depression. It was like, it was one night, and then a few months later, depression. But she went out looking for them fags. And I think she bummed a fag off one or two people. Mm-hmm. And yes, we can sit with the, you know, isn't language different across the pond?
Isn't it different? Yeah. Some things you can say that I cannot.
Exactly. So that's fine. And I properly like toyed with it and was like, oh, I could just say it'd be lovely, but then my streak. and a few weeks ago, like there was a girl at the singing group who was standing back and having a fag, and I was like, I mean, I could just go over there and say, can I have a fag? And I could be having a fag. And I'm very pleased with the fact that, you know, it didn't last very long, and then I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
You're good.
I don't want to do, you know, more damage to myself, and I want to keep the streak going. I want to keep that streak going.
There you go.
So,
it's also pleased. It's also okay to break a streak. Like, a streak is just a number.
It is.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. You're. I don't know what to say. Like.
Yeah, it's all right. I thought I'd bring it to the group.
No, I love it. I love it. I love it so much. And I'm just like, now I'm over analyzing my internal thinking now. Because like what I was mentioning last week which I tried to get to. I was really stumbling with what I was trying to say in regards to I don't know anything. And what I was kind of meaning to say was a bit more on the one-to-one kind of scenario where I'm talking with somebody and like my mindset has shifted so much recently to every person is an experiment of humanity, an experiment of mankind, a one-off that goes and experiences its own life and decisions and choices and it has whatever end result. And they're all independent and they're all different. And that's incredible and amazing and beautiful. And where I enter into it is I have had such a drive to help a person be better or like guide or suggest or comfort or provide perspective or something like it what feels like giving, what feels like sharing or helping now kind of feels like not manipulation, that's the wrong word, but like changing somebody from what they would naturally be and how they naturally are to, you know, hey, follow my advice, do my thing, this is what worked for me. And it's like on one hand that's fucking great, we should share and communally grow, but also everybody is a freaking individual and it doesn't there are no wrong choices. Like I shouldn't be saying these things because something is right or wrong to do, like the fucking caffeine or the cigarettes or whatever. It's like it's just a choice. It's not really bad. Like, sure, there could be there's consequences for every action. There's a consequence for bending over and picking up a penny, but and they're different from smoking a cigarette, or drinking booze, or whatever. But like, everything has a cost, and we all know what the costs are. Generally, like, we don't know every detail about everything, but we know. And nobody needs a friend or whatever to remind them that there are consequences. that's just default. That's being human. And so all that is to get to say is I feel myself not want to say anything about things anymore. Just revel in the excitement of whatever it is, good or bad, because I think good and bad things are beautiful and interesting, and I can feel this push-pull of like wanting to be like, oh, when somebody tells me a story, I'm like, oh, this thing could help or whatever, and I'm just like trying to be like, no, actually, hey, you just shared a thing, you're not asking for advice or help, so like I'm just here listening. And I know, like, you're not in your head because, yeah, this is what everybody's been saying all along. And I know, I get it, I know.
Oh, yeah, but you but like, also, with anything, you've got to reach this yourself.
Yeah. Just like they have to reach it themselves. I can't tell them, it's the same thing. No, that's not at you, that's at me. That's just...
Wow.
It feels different when it's me.
Because I've got the good advice. You don't understand.
I don't even think I have that great of advice. that's also part of it. I think I've mentioned this before. Like I'm pretty sure I just told you this recently. I had a journal. I started it. The first thing I wrote in there was like, I have to keep reminding myself that not everybody else is trying to, with every action they take, work towards a utopia and where everybody is good and safe and happy and content and taken care of. Like, but to me, in my mind, that is the goal of humanity. Like that has been in my mind. The goal of humanity is that we all not only for our children try to make a better world, but for everybody all the time, that we all are all working together to make a better world, but we're not. And that's the shift I'm making towards, is like, we're not, and that's also beautiful. We don't have to live in the sci-fi fantasy utopia of our dreams. Like, we're living in this, and that's an experiment.
It is. Also, I think lots of people are trying to make their utopia. Now, you and I, we've got the right one.
I don't know about that, but we do. But
broadly speaking, we've got the right.
Trying
one.
To be humble here.
No. But, you know, lots of people are working towards what they think is their utopia? That's why at the moment, half of our country is beset by England flags, because there are a number of people here who believe right now that English identity or whatever is under threat. And it needs... what have you got? usually immigrants, usually just other cultures. But what it actually is fear. It's undermined by a couple of politicians and the media representatives that pal around with them. But, you know, they have an idea of what they think a better world is.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with fucking, you know.
Everybody stays exactly where they are. Nobody moves. Nobody crosses these arbitrary lines. Well, some of them are less arbitrary because of water and whatever. But stay where you are. Stop moving.
Everybody would just stay where they were. the title.
Oh, my God.
But I really, like, I don't know, applaud is a bit condescending, but, like, it's really heartening to hear you say that. And I think about, because even my therapist, his job is to help me kind of, and actually the phrase that's been in my head today is, like, self-actualize. And we can get into some of that. It gets deep and knotty and eggy. We can go there if you want. But even he, I think one of the things he will kind of do is like ask if that is an area that I want help with.
Yeah.
And that's his, you know, his job is to help me be the best version of me. Or to be, you know, to be comfortable and happy with myself and to forgive myself and all these things.
Yes.
But even he will, defer or sort of not assume that the track, I don't even know if he's got a track laid out. I don't suspect he has.
Probably
I think
not.
He's responding. And I think this is something my brother seems to do fairly well, is like, if someone comes to you in difficulty or they're struggling with something, that is, you know, or just wants advice and wants help, that is when you jump in, because you're like, oh, thank God you've asked. here's everything I know. And that's great, because the person's ready for that.
I'm being reminded of a share somebody gave at Refuge Recovery once, where they said, I had to like change in insurance or whatever, and I had my last session with my therapist, and I told him, so I was like, here's the last session we got, you know, if you were holding back on telling me something, you know, now's the time, let me know. And he gave some like really helpful perspective and advice on his anger and how he should work on it. And he's like, why didn't you tell me this ages ago? And he got kind of angry about it.
Oh my God, yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Where was that information?
Sometimes you don't know you need to ask, which is really frustrating.
Yes, but I think there's a lovely thing in going, in just ask, like, would you like help with that? Or are you interested in, you know, whatever, and then see if the doors open, because some people might just go, no, you know, I just haven't got time or space for that or whatever. And I think so often, and it's really hard. And it's mate, it's stuff I've struggled with professionally with, you know, in the world of podcasting. And I'm so glad to not be beating my head against these particular walls anymore, or these doors of like, if only people knew, or if only people did this, these few simple things.
Yeah.
And what I realized is then people, just like so many people, are not open to that. And when you meet people who are, you watch the change in their eyes, you know, because yeah, like they are open to hearing, you know, if you use this terminology or if you think about this, and they go, oh my God, I hadn't thought of that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Versus people who just sort of go, yeah, he's on his bullshit again, because mm-hmm. they're not open to it. Yeah. And the, you know, maybe we don't always do that, you know, ask the question like, would you like help with that? Or, you know, or even like I've found in when I've had struggled that this has helped.
Right.
Sometimes I think maybe we fear that that's going to get met with rejection. And maybe that's why we don't always like ask first. Mm. But I think it is a good, it's a great thing to sort of ask for. And it was a subtle little thing years ago with my guy. One of the things I am very pleased about, and it's something that I derive some value from, rightly or wrongly, is that he sometimes uses words that I don't understand, and I'm like, that's great.
That's great.
Because I,
yeah,
you know, I don't necessarily want to be working with someone who I think is, you know, who I, you know, if I feel smarter than my therapist,
yeah.
And so, like, I like that he's ahead of me, and I think that's as it should be.
It is.
And we got talking about liminal spaces, and I was in a time where I couldn't. So one of those was like, I can't really put my finger on what it means. Sure. And he just sort of went something along the lines of, do you want to know? And it was just a simple question, because mm-hmm. I could have gone, oh, not really, I don't care. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, I wanted to know. But it was just that brief, you know, are you curious what the definition is? And then we can explore that. And I think there is just a lovely thing about opening the door and letting people decide what they want to do rather than try and kick them through it. Not that you have, but when we believe things.
Yeah.
And when we see things as being so patently obvious, and if only people realize, and of course naturally we're just like, just, you know, you want to drag them by the back of the collar and haul them in.
Yeah.
But they're only going to make a mess on the carpet if you do that.
Yeah.
So I applaud you.
Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure I interrupted you. I don't know what
I think you did.
I think it did.
I interrupted you first.
I interrupted you first.
I can tell you about my eggy conversation if you like.
Yes, please do.
So this is almost, and it's interesting to talk to you or talk with you about this, because of your upbringing, but it's almost the, in some ways, polar opposite. And so put it this way, mm-hmm. I need to get better at disappointing my parents.
Yeah. Love that for you.
Because I was chatting to my guy today, and it was interesting to put it in these words. I'd never really put it in these words before. When my brother left home, he left with his then girlfriend. I have to start calling spades spades. My mother would not think.
Oh.
My female parent.
Oh, no.
Gotta leave a little bit of mystery.
Interesting.
My mother would not dream of interfering.
Okay.
Yeah, tell me about that reaction.
Because it sounds like she interferes all the time with her comments.
Oh, no, I'm talking about my brother.
Oh, okay. Not dream of interfering with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because I think part of it is because they are their own now fully actualized, self-realized people. That is a fascinating face.
Yeah, your brother and his wife, or
yes.
Okay, not your mother.
Yes. No.
Okay. And because you are somehow excluded from that list of self-actualized people.
So I didn't have so my
and thank
model,
you for the compliment on my face. I appreciate it.
My model for like my how I left the house was very different because I got my own place and it was me on my own figuring it out, but also
self-actualized
with the parents sort of fairly close at hand and sure. You keep being mischievous.
You'll hear it in the edit.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay.
I don't know. I'm just playing around. I'm just saying self-actualized because you...
Oh, I heard you say self-actualized and then I was like, you've got a cheeky little face on you. But that's my point. Like, there was never the, like proper, like, separation.
The snipping of the umbilical cord is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or as I don't know if this is the saying over there as well, the cutting of the apron strings.
Nope.
The cutting of the apron strings, yes.
Sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, one of the jokes, one of the sort of tropes is the young lad, maybe he's a student or maybe he's just moved into his first place and he comes home to his parents to get his laundry done, you know.
Yeah.
And that was never... That was never me in that regard, but like there was certain other things, and there are aspects of my life that I think I have been. It's really hard because like I don't think this was intentional in like a planned, you know, way, but I think it's worked out, and I think maybe the settings are set the way my family likes them. Is that when it is convenient, I am my own person with my own life. But maybe when some people need to feel needed, or need to hold someone close because the other one has his own life. I think there is a sense that like, and I've had this sort of, you know, kind of unkind thought for a while of like, it almost feels sometimes like there's like almost like my place is kind of an extension almost of my mother's place. Like there are just things that I'm just like, am I crazy? Am I the asshole here? Or would you never dream of doing that in somebody else's home?
Right.
Or like certain things that, and it's like, it's only weird little circumstantial things. So like none of the evidence really like stacks up in a very meaningful way. There's not like one incident where I can say, hey, this, but that, you know, there are moments more and more where, and it's interesting because, like, you know, my parents like to do things. They like to be useful. They like to be valued, and you know, needed. And because I partly I'm a people pleaser, and also, you know, like maybe it is just the people pleasing, but there is the idea that like accepting their help is the only really sensible option, because doing otherwise would be like a waste of money or something else.
Do they like make offers and stuff to you that it feels like there's obligation tied to it, or there's feels like there's strings attached?
Well, this is, and this is where it gets tricky. And I will, you know, I want to be, still want to be reasonable here.
Yeah. We know you're reasonable, the listener and I.
Yes, thank you.
You're also free to say how it feels and you know.
Yeah. I have experienced the sense that there are strings attached.
Yeah.
It's never been said.
Of course.
But there has always been a sense that, well, if you, I mean, and it's not just about accepting help, by the way, it's about doing things that meet with familial approval.
Yeah.
Because if I don't do that, you know, this is why my parents, like, I've never told them, like, my mum especially, and my dad's got some suspicions, and they think he's caught me, well, I know he's caught me smoking once or twice, but never, like, he never knew that I was habitual for a long time. And sure. my mum is blissfully ignorant. And the idea, and actually my guy brought it up today, and he got halfway through the sentence, and I was like, oh my God, no! Like, he was like, I'm not coaching you, but, like, have you, you know, have you ever considered what would happen if, and I was like, yeah, he didn't have to complete the sentence and I already had an adrenal response of like, oh my God, no, I would be told off so bad.
What would be the problem with that being told off?
Because what that then means is banishment.
Do you think so?
Yes.
In your mind or in your family?
In my family, because that has been a tool that has been used as punishment.
For you or for others or both?
For others.
Okay. So you've seen banishment happen by your mother towards other people of your family because of smoking.
Oh, no, not specifically smoking, but because of bad behavior, let's say.
Bad behavior. That's,
you know, as yeah. It's
whatever's on her no list.
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you have to know her no list.
On the no list, but it's more the like, oh, the reaction to that is to literally lock someone out of the house.
Sure.
That's literally the door is closed on you and you can't get in until I tell you to. That is a removal of safety. That is, you know, that is what banishment is. I didn't process that as a kid, but that is absolutely what happened. And so, yeah, like it's very much ingrained that, like, yeah, it's not safe if you transgress. It's not safe.
Right. No. But also, it's not safe if you hide it. Like you're constantly not safe in your family with that, with knowing that. Without,
yeah, because there's the constant fear of being found out or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
How long do you think the banishment would last if it even happened at all?
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
Because, I mean, sure, there's the possibility of forever. It could be a time limit. It could be just momentary or something else.
Knowing some of the operating system.
The firmware has been passed down.
I could foresee infinite mini banishments. Whenever it
oh my God
is convenient.
Oh, that okay, that's the worst. Worse than I
Yeah. Because it could be
that's worse than permanent.
You know, she gets in a mood.
In a mood. Mm.
About something, and then
fucking
it's like
moods.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's like I didn't do anything, and then suddenly, like,
but you did remember, that time.
Yeah, I remember being as a younger man. God. I remember being as a kid being told off for an idea mum had in her own head, made up as a thing that she thought I might do, and then rebuked me for it.
That sounds like my ex-wife.
Yeah. Like, it was such a weird thing. Like, I got a cat, and my mum told me off because in her head she was like, "And don't you start using this in one of your silly films." What?
What?
I mean, A, what? But also, like, you just made that up as an idea and then told me off about it. Like, I haven't done it. Like, how do you navigate that?
Oh my god, dude.
So, you know, so the, and she like she got kind of, you know, she created an idea and then got irritated by her own idea. Oh my god. Yeah. So
okay.
Yes. None of this will happen. So, yes.
Really?
No. I have to. Like it's at this point I have to.
Because you've said mother.
No, because you have to cut it. Is that what you think? I owe it to myself to do something that, you know, might meet with disapproval should it ever enter into the world.
I think I love what you just said, but I don't quite understand. You owe it to yourself to... You do owe it to yourself. That part I'm very sure of. Mm-hmm. What was the it?
So what I'm squirming about is, and what I, so I said this episode will never air, and then I was like, no, I have to let this air.
Great.
Because I have to run the risk of it falling into ears that would hear it and be, you know, hurt by it. Because at some point, I have to have a fight with my parents.
Like what? So you've lived this life so far where you have done everything you can to hide it.
Mm.
And you currently feel this way about it. A little squirmy, a little afraid, a little, you know, unsure, a little bit of like the rug, the not even the rug, but the bridge that you're standing on could erode away right in front of you. Like, and that doesn't sound like it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, like, you know, a perpetual mini banishment that could happen at any time does not sound good either.
But that is
the same thing that your mom's doing. You are, in your mind, creating the scenario of what could be and getting upset about it. Just like she's like, and don't use that cat in your funny video. It's the same type of thing. Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
I'm not here to give advice. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
No.
I'm just...
I am like.
What are you holding back from your mom? Is it just the smoking, or is it something?
Oh God, no! That was just an example. Like that's really just an example. It could be anything. Like I was one of the things. You know, if we take a much more anodyne example, I was considering getting a loan against equity in the flat in order to spend a year working on Flurry.
Amazing.
Without any other, you know, distractions or whatever. Now
that
comes with a lot of risk.
Of course.
But what it also comes with is a lot of having to deal with, like there's almost this idea that I have to tell my family that it's like, it's something I have to admit. But then B,
that's interesting on its own.
But then B, because that is not one of the approved script lines. That is not an approved groove that we can that we can settle into. Then what does that mean? You know, and if there is, you know, if there is support, is that given coldly? Is that given begrudgingly? Is it denied? That might hurt someone's feelings to hear that someone thinks that their support is conditional. But that's my experience, is that in at some point that has felt, you know, like, and I think that the way I put it today when I was chatting to my guy was like, being told off for a bad school report or being told off for something and then very quickly later asking if you can have a chocolate biscuit. Like, that's what it feels like. Because like, fuck no, you can't have a chocolate biscuit. You're in trouble, you know.
Sure.
It's complicated.
Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many thoughts that race around my head because, like, you know, this is the revelation of, you know, of my the revelation of my massage is the sort of protecting other people's boundaries. And thinking about what other people would think about what I'm saying now.
Mm-hmm.
What someone, mm-hmm. you know, what mm-hmm. my mum, should she ever hear this, which is, can't ever imagine a scenario where she would, apart from one of us sends it to her, what that would be. And it would be, like, super hurtful.
Yeah.
And that's true because, again, like, I have to say, even, you know, for my own edification as much as anything else, and just so that it is on the record, that, you know, I've never been in doubt that I am loved and I am cared for, and I am supported as a human being.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yep. you know, the bridge has felt rickety, and also yep. it's felt like for me that I have learned or been taught to cling to support that I would be better off not clinging to, not because of their support being lacking, but because it is stopping me from self-actualizing. It's stopping me from feeling like a fully effective human being. And that's, you know, that's the difficulties, like mm-hmm. that sort of never having that clean sense of separation, and also mm-hmm. not always knowing how to do that, you know, like yeah. when I get the text on a Saturday afternoon that says, do you want to come for Sunday lunch tomorrow? Like, you know, what does one say? No, thank you. I'm trying to self-actualize. You know, no, thank you. I'm trying to distance myself. Basically, you right. know, I have to just kind of lie. And just say, you know, I've got other plans or whatever. Not because...
I mean, you could just leave it at no thank you. Do you have to give a reason?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, no. That's that's exactly the point. Like, no, thank you. I don't think... No, that would be... That would be, that would be considered rude.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, if I just said no thanks. Like, because someone's made you an offer. And if you haven't given a reason to, you know, now, as you to feel, why you can't accept it.
Do you feel like that is reasonable?
If I texted...
Go ahead.
If I texted a friend and I said, do you want to come round and I'll cook us a meal? Like,
I
have
I'm
done.
There.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, no, not to me. Okay, you know, so, an example.
I have been known to do that on occasion. If someone just replied with "no, thank you," my feelings would be hurt.
Sure. Yeah, those words. No, but I mean, where if you were to change it a little bit, but to not give an excuse and just be like, yeah. "Can't make it this time," or
which
know,
is a lie.
You could possibly make it. Okay, true.
I mean, you know, maybe I'm just being extremely autistic about this. That's, you know, completely possible. But like, I did, you know.
But yeah. A kind decline,
yes,
without a reason.
Kind decline. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, and you're getting into the lie territory. Sure. Blah.
Yeah. Exactly. Blah. And you know, I it's not like I haven't done that. But it's
maybe next
sometimes
time.
There's stuff you would rather do.
Thank you.
And
maybe
the
next
across
time.
The board. You know, maybe next time. Rain check. Yeah, and it's, you know, I think there will be more of those in my future, because I just, yeah, I think that distance, and also You know, and there's just like the slightly ugly thing of like, I don't always like the version of myself that is the version that rocks up at that door.
So relate.
Yeah.
So relate. I don't like myself. I don't like that version of myself either.
Yeah. It's really tricky.
It is.
Man.
Mm. I feel you, brother.
But I think this is continual work for me is now
same.
Figuring out on a practical sense, but also on an emotional sense. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it kind of comes back to a little bit of the emotional maturity thing that we've talked about before of like, I have to be the one to sort of say like, I can't keep needing you. You can't keep needing me to need you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, yeah, again, like I don't get to discover what an unfettered, you know, Mark is. And also, you know, there's stories there around like without the proper guidance, an unfettered Mark makes rash decisions or poor decisions, which is a story, you know, rather than, well, Mark maybe follows decisions that he feels would make him the happiest.
Bad taste. I relate to all this really hard. I was just at my candlelight meditation group, and one of the fellow participants is a woman who helps people downsize during a major life change later in life. Usually they're like, you know, maybe their health is declining, maybe not. They're getting towards retirement. They're getting down into a very small condo, or maybe they're moving into a retirement home or assisted living, something like that. And so they're going through a lifetime of possessions that they filled their house with down to just the bare minimum. And there's a lot of emotional grief that goes along with that. A lot of processing, a lot of like, oh my God, all these letters I saved from my lover, or these photos, or these items, whatever, that they have some huge emotional attachment to, and they're processing all that through. So this friend is very well versed in, you know, some aspects of emotional separation and processing, and also kind of a side of this parental connection, because often a lot of them are parents or grandparents, and they've had issues with their children, and that stuff comes up. Anyways, she has offered to like be an ear for me as I'm going through the process with my mother. And she gave me some advice that was really interesting. It was kind of not startling, but it was like something I was already kind of thinking about, but was like, nope, can't do that. Like that's a thing that just not an option. But I really want to do it, but I can't do it. Okay. which is telling my mom what life has been like for me, being frank about it, about her decisions, her motherhood, how that all affected me, in order to help me process what, you know, this time in my life where I'm trying to help her, where I did not feel helped when it was her job.
Yes. Are there not aspects to which, because I think I was under the impression that there were aspects that she knew or intuited from listening to episodes of the podcast.
I don't know.
But for you, there's more explicit things that need
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think she's only listened to the episode where we talked good about her. I don't think that she's listened to any other things.
Right.
I don't know that she knows how, other than to click the link
of
the one that I sent her. Yep. I don't think that she definitely doesn't know how to subscribe and probably doesn't know how to find a second episode.
Sure.
But yeah, and so like methods that this, she didn't know what state my mother was in, and she's like, oh, is she like, is there a sort of dementia, is she like in and out, and like whatever, like could you tell her and her not remember, like it would not impact her? And I'm like, no, she's still very lucid, it would still very much affect her, and so it's not, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna unload baggage on her while she's still conscious about things before she dies. Like, that doesn't feel good. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And I don't know that it would even help me. I mean, it could. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't fear banishment. I just fear hurting others.
Yes.
I don't want to hurt anyone.
No, and I'm playing with both of those at the moment. It's like,
I don't want
my mum to hear this because, or for it to get to her, because I don't want her to feel, well, for me, it's like, you're talking about a different person. It's one thing to talk about yourself, but now you're talking about me but it's really difficult because now I'm thinking about when people have infidelity in relationships, mm-hmm. and they feel so guilty,
yeah,
that they then tell the partner, their mm-hmm. their main partner,
mm-hmm.
and it's so often, well, I think in all cases, that was for the person who did the cheating. That was for mm-hmm. their benefit. It wasn't for the partner's benefit. They Absolutely. Can tell themselves. They needed to know. They deserved to. No. You needed to unburden.
Yeah.
And you've got nothing. You haven't done anything wrong. You haven't got guilt that you need to unpack. But at the same time, there is an unburdening that you are entitled to. But doing so would cause a great amount of hurt, by the sounds of things. And that is a really difficult thing to contend with, because you deserve catharsis.
Exactly. And I have unburdened it to multiple therapists and multiple partners and multiple friends. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't, I mean, it's helped at different times, but it hasn't clicked.
Doesn't go away.
It hasn't relieved it, and I don't have faith that telling her would relieve it either. Like, I still mm-hmm. think it would still, that hurt would still be there. So it's for some reason, some part of me does feel like that's part of it, like that she needs to know somehow that she hurt me. I don't know why. I feel like
that feels entirely natural. That feels like an entirely natural thing to want. Because, yeah. Yeah, I think, yes. I think that's universal, fairly. For people who are wronged, they want...
Like, you hurt me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want people to know that happened. But,
yeah,
you know, the particular timing of this is what is the difficult thing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, if you can take any lesson from me, don't delay.
I'm going to put it off for as long as I can.
Yeah. No. And I get it. I want to as well. Oh man, parents. Am I right?
Oh, there's I don't know if this helps, but there's a lovely thing in I'll see if I can remember it. If not, I'll have to Google it. It was in the TV series The Pit that came out this year, which mm-hmm. I'm in love with.
Yeah.
And the idea was there are four things, and I think it was a dying mother, actually, that a brother and sister were attending to. Might have been a father. And the doctor said there's these like four things that you can say, and it's I forgive you. It's like I needed something that you didn't give me. Thank you. Yeah, it's like thank you, I'm sorry, I forgive you, and I love you. I think it might have been simple as that.
Thank you, so, I forgive you, I'm sorry, and I love you.
Yeah, it's something like that. So I'm sorry for, you know, something that I did that hurt you. I forgive you for the thing that you did that hurt me. And, you know, I think it means saying it, saying the thing, not just saying those words, but actually saying the thing that you're forgiving them or you're apologizing for.
Yeah, for sure.
And then thank you for, you know, this thing that you gave me. And I love it. I can't remember if I love you was the last one, but it would make sense that it probably
something
is.
Like that,
But I'll see if I can look it up. But it's something like that. And I think it's that's probably come from a book somewhere, you know, whether it's a bereavement book or it's something on grief or mourning. But it feels like there's something there that it gives you that opportunity then to. So it's not all about addressing the hurt that was caused, but also understanding that, you know, we're all part of systems, and she may have received, you know, she may have her own grievances that she thinks she needs to, for you to atone for, who knows, which could be completely different and different sized, different shaped. But being able to acknowledge that. I think one of them was like, I'm sorry I wasn't the daughter that you wanted me to be, I think was, you know, was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I wish you had, or I forgive you for you trying to make me into something that I wasn't, you know, something like that. And I don't know, I have an instinct that there might be something useful in that. And I think the idea is you probably say these things at the very last point when the person is perhaps, you know, where the machine is sort of doing most of the work.
Yeah.
So that you have that opportunity to say so unfettered, but with the idea, with the suggestion that maybe they can hear it.
Sure. I like that a lot. I have an interesting experience myself in this current moment, having one parent passed and one still alive, and feeling the difference between the endings, where one just disappeared and his life was over, and one who's we're getting a lot of warning and a lot of time to process and caretake in the meantime. Mm-hmm. And with my father, I had things, but before he passed, I had a lot. I mean, I had a lot of grievances. I had a lot of things that I would have loved to have told him, but his mental state, like even though he was conscious and aware, he wasn't present. He wasn't, all he could, I don't know. It's like he had such limited capacity, is how it appeared. And so I didn't feel like I could tell him anything because it wouldn't matter. It was like he was already on the machine. The machine was doing all the work, and I was like, well, he's not going to hear it. there was no point. And not that I needed him to change or even hear it, but like, it was as if I was telling my closet. Like it had no, it felt like it would have no impact by voicing it to him. And like, I don't think he'd even be moved or understand that I was saying anything. Not that it have to be, but it just feels very different with my mom. I feel like she would take it very personally. And then she'd probably move on right away. I don't know, but And then it would probably also sit with her in the back, and like she would make some comment about it at some point, and just be like, oh fuck, did I really hurt her? I don't know. Like, and then I go back and forth. I'm like, well, she fucking really hurt me. Not that I want to get back at her, but just like,
no,
there's, God, it's also complicated. It's also complicated.
It is.
But the advice I keep getting, and this is something that I've, I have found myself coming to ask others about, not being like, oh, you need to do this, because I'm trying not to give advice, but just like, have you tried this? This has come to mind, because I remember it helped me in the past, was journaling. This has come up with a few people recently, and it's just like, oh, have you tried like just writing about it? Just do it, do a couple pages a day and just kind of process it out. And then I was finally mirrored that advice. Somebody told me to do that. I'm like, oh, fuck. I keep forgetting to listen to myself. and I haven't done it yet. I keep meaning to. But that I think is something that would probably help me a lot is writing about it. And because I did that about the circumcision, and where it helped a lot at the time. And I found myself still getting angry about it after that. But it was less... It was less so, I was able to find some relief in my anger about that, and I really should sit down and process out some of the anger I have for a bunch of the other aspects.
I found fiction helpful.
Interesting. Like writing fiction.
So the last time I felt, I've done it a couple of times, but last time I felt sort of deeply hurt, I wrote a short story, and it was a dog and a bird, and it was about a dog that was drowning a dog that was what's the word I'm after? Like really, really thirsty. There's a word for when you're really, really thirsty. Mm-hmm. Desperate, and a bird comes and promises that she will guide the dog to water, and and they have a great time for a bit, and he feels, you know, great. She's, you know, this bird's gonna lead me to where I can find water. And one night he goes to sleep and he wakes up and she's not there. And he goes back to feeling desolate and, you know, so dry. And he's looking around trying to find water again. And then a few days later, the bird comes back again, and everything's sweetness and light, and it's great and wonderful. And they lay up and they lay one night and they look up at the stars, and they sort of go further into they wander through this forest, and they get to the edge of the forest and a dirt track in the blazing sun, and the dog looks up and the bird's gone again, and he's just sort of there in the blazing heat, not knowing which direction to go. And that was how I felt at the time. And using an almost childlike story helped. I wrote it the next morning, you know, it was something that, you know, and songwriting as well, you know, the best song I ever wrote, you know, I wrote when I was in my early 20s about something that happened to me when I was 15, 16. And yeah, channeling those things into creative pursuits, I think is, there's a lot to be said for it.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I have written fiction a couple times and it has not come naturally to me.
That's fair enough.
But that's interesting. I'll think about that.
Yeah. By the way, Ho'oponopono. I don't know. I know I'll be mispronouncing that, but it is the Hawaiian tradition of saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you.
Mm. Okay. Pono? What was that?
Ho'oponopono. So it's H-O-ponopono. apostrophe Ho'oponopono.
Aloha.
Exactly.
And as always, the desire to quest a new life is proof the new life exists. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks.
I can see you pondering that one. Is that?
I don't understand those words. Do I? Liminal?
Liminal?